إن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد, so in our discussion of أصول التفسير, the foundations of tafsir, from this booklet by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Athaymeen Hafizahullah, we will try inshallah, we will continue and hope that with this today and next week we'll be able to finish everything, the whole booklet. We discussed last meeting about some of the Sahaba and Tabi'een that were known to be good in tafsir and that have reported a lot of tafsir to that have been recorded in the books of tafsir. And the ones that we specifically discussed were among the Sahaba Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum. And of the Tabi'een we discussed Mujahid and Qatada. Okay, so now we continue, and we will not go over a review of what we discussed, since it was basically a brief biography of each one of these. It's very easy to refer back to the tape of the previous discussion. So we continue now in the discussion of Al-Qur'an Al-Muhkam Wal-Mutashabih, that part of the Qur'an is considered as muhkam, as clear-cut, and part of it as mutashabih, as being vague or unclear. So what does that mean? So in regard to this issue of ihkam and muhkam and mutashabih, there are three types that need to be brought up or mentioned. The first type is الإحكام العام الذي وصف به القرآن كله, which means that at the overall level of the whole Quran it is all muhkam, which means very clear and very sound, very clear and sound. الإحكام العام الذي وصف به القرآن كله, as Allah عز وجل says, كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير. كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير, which means a book whose ayat have been made muhkam, which means basic or clear, sound, very well understood. ثم فصلت, and then they have been detailed from لدن, من لدن, from حكيم خبير, from the one who is all wise, all aware about things, that is from Allah Azza wa Jal, which means he sent to you the book and its ayat are all very clear. He's talking in general about the Quran, they are very clear, there is no ambiguity about them. And he said Alif Lam Ra تلك آيات الكتاب الحكيم, what means Alif Lam Ra, those are the ayat of the wise book. And he's saying وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ كِتَابِ لَدَيْنَا لَعَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ, and it is in the mother, which means in the mother of the book. أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ means لَوْحُ الْمَحْفُوظِ, where it is recorded there, with us, لَعَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ, verily it is Ali, high, or high and wise. Now as you notice, I'm using the word ayah for one portion of the Quran that, as you know, the Quran is divided into surahs or chapters, sometimes people call them. Each chapter is divided into ayat, and the numbers of ayat vary from one surah to another. The largest surah being Surah Al-Baqarah, with 283 or something ayat, and the shortest being Surah Inna A'tainaka Al-Kawthar, or Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad Al-Ikhlas, which have what, three ayat. So these are the shortest. I do not like using the word verse for ayah that some people frequently use, and they use it here in this book. Many people use the word verse, and I believe it's wrong to use it, because the word verse originally means poetry. It comes from poetry, that it is made of verses, which means of poetry. And as we know, Allah Azza wa Jalla negates any poetry about the Quran, that it doesn't have any poetry in it. And وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشَّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ الْقُرْآنِ. We have not taught him the poetry that is about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is not right for him. It is only a reminder and an honorable or noble Quran. So just this shows that the Quran doesn't have any poetry in it. And therefore it is wrong to use a term that describes the Quran as being poetry. Even though in the Bible they use verses for sections or for sentences, but that comes from poetry and it refers to the Bible. We do not have to do the same for the Quran. So we surely need to avoid using the word verse and use instead of it the original word, which is ayah, for every portion or phrase or sentence of the Quran as it is divided in it. Explain to them what it means, or else tell them one sentence of the Quran, one phrase of the Quran. Even though an ayah is not always one sentence, sometimes it's part of a sentence and sometimes it contains several sentences, but in general it is about the size of a sentence. So you can say it's one sentence or one phrase or something like that. Okay, the meaning of that, the Quran in general is clear cut and well made or well put together, and it is perfect in its text and its meanings. This is the meaning of it, of what we said. So it is at the highest level of eloquence, and its news, the information in it is all true and all beneficent. There is no lie, there is no contradiction, there is no useless talk or something, there is no useless or futile talk in it, in the Quran. And its rulings are all just, and there is no injustice or confusion in any of the rulings or teachings of the Quran. So the first type of meaning of ihkam is that the whole Quran is muhkam, and or clear cut in meaning and sound. And this applies, this is the first type of understanding. This applies to the whole Quran without exception. Now another understanding about ihkam and tashabuh is the following. التشابه العام الذي وصف به القرآن كله. That you can say that the Quran as a whole is متشابه, and in that متشابه means, as you will see, the word محكم means, as I said, well knit, clear cut sound. That's the meaning of محكم. And with that understanding, this applies to the whole Quran. The word متشابه has two meanings. One of them is that it is similar to each other, and the other means that it is vague. It's vague. And they are related, actually. When you say two things are similar to each other, you mean that one meaning is similar to another meaning, so it becomes confusing as to which of the two meanings is meant. So that's where the vagueness comes from. So the word mutashabih has two meanings. One of them is good, and it applies to all of the Quran. The other is not good, But it applies to some ayat of the Quran for a reason, as we will see. It's not good in terms of understanding, that is, of the people's understanding. But it is good, and there's a wisdom for it being like that. So the second type is tashabala, which means all of the Quran has this description of being mutashabih, which means similar to each other. And this is correct, this is perfect, this applies to all of the Quran. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, what means Allahu nazzala ahsan al hadithi kitaba mutashabih. Allah sent down the best of talks or the best of speech, a book which has similar meanings. There's a typo here. مثانية تقشعر كتاب متشابه مثانية تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم. They are مثاني, which means pairs. It is sent down in pairs, the ayat, which means they are similar to each other as pairs, of which the skins of those who fear their Lord tremble or shrink, and then become soft, their skins and their hearts become soft for the remembrance of Allah. So this describes the book as being mutashabih, as being similar to each other, which means, you know, you read in it here, you read there, in various places, and it is all similar to each other. There is no conflict or contradiction. So the meaning of this similarity is that all of the Quran is similar to each other in perfection, in goodness, and in good goals. As Allah says, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عَنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُ فِي اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, which means had it been from other than Allah, they would have found in it a great amount of confusion or contradiction. So this is the second meaning, that the Quran, the first meaning in regard to muhkam and tashabih is that all of the Quran is muhkam. The second is that all of it is mutashabih. And the third meaning or understanding is that some of it is muhkam, some of it is mutashabih, and that is in a different sense. That is, so in that we dealt with the first sense, the second sense, and the third sense. Part of it is muhkam, part of it is mutashabih. What does that mean? الإحكام الخاص ببعضه والتشابه الخاص ببعضه, which means portions of the Quran are specifically muhkam, well clearly cut and understood, and the other is mutashabih, they are vague, specific others. Like Allah Azza wa Jal saying in the beginning of Al Imran, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هم أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. Which means it is he who has sent down upon you the book. In it are ayat which are basic, he says, or fundamental, clear in meaning. آيات محكمات هم أم الكتاب, they are the word used here is أم الكتاب, they are the mother of the book, literally. And the meaning as is given here, they are the foundation of the book, they are the basic ayat for the meanings of the book, that is. وأخر متشابهات, and others are not entirely clear, there is some vagueness in them. But those in whose hearts is perversity, they follow the part which in it that is not entirely clear, seeking discord. That is, they only look at the ayat which are not clear, and they say, look, this, they interpret it in one way, interpret them in one way, and they say, look, this means such and such, which is contradictory to the correct meanings of the whole of the Muhkam Quran and other teachings of Islam. So by that they are seeking discord, they are seeking confusion. ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله, and searching for its interpretation, but no one knows its true meaning except Allah. And those who are firmly grounded in the knowledge, they have strong roots in the knowledge, they say, we believe in it. So even if they do not know the meaning, they say we believe in it, or they're not sure about the meaning, the whole of it is from our Lord. كُلَّ مِنْ عَنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And none will grasp the message except men of understanding. So this clearly indicates that there are ayat which are muhkam and ayat which are mutashabih, which are not as clear. And the meaning of this ihkam here is clear, is that the ayat will be clear cut in their meaning, and that there is no ambiguity about them. Like Allah Azza wa Jal saying, for example, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عَبُودَ رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَلَهِيَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. All people, worship your Lord who created you and those before you, that you may attain taqwa. So this, no one can say this is unclear, it is vague, it could mean worship Allah, or it could mean worship something else, for instance. Or worship could mean the ibadah as we know it, or it could be something else, and so on. So it's clear in its meaning. Or when Allah says, أحل لكم البيع, أحل الله البيع, which means Allah has made selling and buying permissible, and so on. حرمت عليكم ميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير. It has been prohibited for you to eat of the dead and blood and flesh of the pig. وما أحل لغير الله به. And that which has been slaughtered for the name of other than Allah. So these are clear cut, there is no ambiguity in them. And there are many examples like that. The majority of the Quran is clear cut, there is no ambiguity in its meanings. Well, as for tashabuh, as for the ayat which have some vagueness or some ambiguity, معنى التشابه يكون معنى الآية مشتبها خفيا بحيث يتوهم منه الواهم ما لا يليق بالله تعالى أو كتابه أو رسوله ويفهم منه العالم الراسخ في العلم خلاف ذلك. It is the meaning of this vagueness is that a person may imagine about from the meaning of the ayah something that is not adequate in regard to Allah or His book or His messenger. But those who are strong and firm in knowledge, they will know the correct meaning of these ayat, these vague ayat. Such as when Allah Azza wa Jal says, بَلْ يَدَاهُمَ بِسُوطَتَانِ. Rather, when the Jews said that the hands of Allah are closed, that is, he cannot spend, as much as he wants. قَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ. They said, the hand of Allah is tied. قُلْ بَلْ يَدَاهُمَ بِسُوطَتَانِ. May their hands be tied, and their hands have become tied since then, that the Jews became all stingy all the time. And they are cursed because of what they said. بَلْ يَدَاهُمْ أَبْسُوطَتَانِ. Rather, his hands are wide open. Wide open. So the ignorant people may understand from this that the hands of Allah are similar to the hands of the people. And this is where the vagueness or the possible confusion comes to the minds of some people. But the people of knowledge know that the hands of Allah are not like the hands of any creatures. So to them it is clear in a sense. And as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said in regard to this ayah of Surah Al-Imran, he said, أَنَا مِنَ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ تَأْوِيلًا. Because the ayah says only those who are firm in knowledge will understand the explanation of the Quran. So he said, I am of those who are firm in knowledge and who know the explanation of it, of the Quran. So some people know it. And let's finish inshallah the section, maybe it'll answer your question. And an example also that may appear to be confusing or contradictory is when Allah says, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Whatever good thing happens to you is from Allah. Whatever bad thing happens, it is from yourself. Whereas Allah says somewhere else, وإن تصبهم حسنة يقول هذه من عند الله وإن تصبهم سيئة يقول هذه من عندك. If a good thing happens to them, they say this is from Allah. If an evil thing or a bad thing happens, they say this is from you. Say, all of it is from Allah. Alayhi as-salam wa rahmatullah. So say everything is from Allah. So this ayah, somebody may think that this is confusing or contradictory with the previous one, because the previous one says whatever good is from Allah, whatever evil is from yourself. And this second ayah says everything from Allah. So which one is correct? Okay, I will not answer because the explanation will come later on, so inshallah we'll keep it. Keep reading now. And also in regard to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody may misunderstand this ayah. فَإِنْ كُنْتَ فِي شَكٍّ مِمَّا أَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ فَاسْأَلِ الَّذِينَ يَقْرَؤُونَ كِتَابًا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. Which means, if you were in doubt in regard to what has been revealed to you, then ask those who you read the book before you, which means the Jews and the Christians. Verily, to you has come the truth from your Lord. So do not be of those who argue, who argue without reason, you know, about the truth. So somebody would understand that about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is in doubt about what Allah has revealed to him, because it says, if you were in doubt about what has been revealed to you. So what would the people who are firm in knowledge say in this regard, in regard to these ayat? The position of those who are firm in knowledge is, as we said, is mentioned in the same surah, in the same ayah, in which it says, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولَ بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عَنْدِ رَبِّنَا. Those who are firm in knowledge, they say, we believe in it, it's all from our Lord. So those who are looking for confusion, who are looking for discord, they take these ayat, which are apparently confusing, they take them as a means to attack the book of Allah and to deviate the people and to misinterpret the Quran in a way other than what Allah intended. By that, they misguide others and they themselves are misguided. As for those who are firm in the knowledge, they believe in all what came in the book of Allah. They believe that it's all true and that there is no confusion or contradiction in it, because it is all from Allah. And as Allah says, what means, were it from other than Allah, they would have found in it great confusion. So whatever comes in it as mutashabih, as being vague or unclear to them, they refer it to that which is sound and clear. Which means, if something is unclear, they explain it according to what is clear. So that would explain it and remove or alleviate the confusion. So that everything then would become muhkam for them. The whole Quran would become muhkam, clear-cut and sound in meaning. So in regard to the hands of Allah that we mentioned earlier, they say Allah has two hands, real hands, in accordance with His greatness and glory. They do not resemble any of the hands of the creatures. Just like He has His being, His that is different from the that, from the essence, His essence is different from the essence of the creatures. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَالسَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, because He says nothing is like Him, what means, nothing is like Him, and He is the all-seeing, the all-hearing, the all-seeing. And in regard to the second example that we mentioned about the good and the evil deeds, they say, the people of knowledge would say, that both the good and the evil are decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the good deed or the good thing that happens to a person, the good thing, the favor that befalls him, its reason is that Allah favored his ibad, his servants, by it, and he granted it to them. And as for the evil deed, it was caused by the action of the person himself. So even though both of them are decreed by Allah, but one of them is a favor from Allah, the other is as a result of a misbehavior or misaction by the person himself. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, which means whatever calamity happens to you, it is because of what your hands have earned, and Allah forgives a lot. Which means if Allah were to punish us for every little mistake that we make, we would be always in calamities and disasters. But Allah forgives a lot, and still whatever happens to us, it is because of what our hands have earned. So relating the evil or the calamity or the disaster or the affliction, relating it to the servant, to the person, is of the type of relating a thing to its cause, not to the one who made it or who decreed it, because Allah is the one who decreed it, but the cause was the servant, the action of the servant. And when we say that both the good and the bad come from Allah, it means by relating it to Allah, as in decreeing it comes from Allah. And as for the third example about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it said that if you were in doubt about what we have revealed to you, the answer is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not in doubt of what was revealed to him, but he was the most knowledgeable of all the people in that regard, and he had the most conviction and firm belief about it, as Allah says in the same surah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي شَكٍ مِّن دِينِي فَلَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Say, O people, if you are in doubt about my deen, my religion, then I will not worship what you worship instead of Allah. Which means, if you were in doubt, then I am in firm belief, and that is why I will not worship what you worship instead of Allah, but I will worship Allah alone. So he's saying, if you were in doubt, what means, if you were in doubt of what we have revealed to you, does not mean that he was in doubt. It is like Allah saying, قُلْ إِن كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدٌ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ. Say, if Ar-Rahman, the all merciful, had a child, I would be the first one to worship him. That doesn't mean that it is possible that Allah has a child, or that this could happen. No, this could never happen, and it's not possible for Allah Azza wa Jal. And as he said, وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَن يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. It is not possible, it's not possible for Ar-Rahman to have a child. إِن كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا أَتِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا. Verily, all what is in the heavens and on earth will come to before Ar-Rahman as a slave or as a servant. So, and he's saying, فَلَتَكُرُنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ, do not be among those who argue, does not mean, or argue without seeking the truth. Argue with mira, which means trying just to dilute the truth. So, does not mean that this has occurred from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he is prohibiting him from doing something, it doesn't mean that he has done that something that he is prohibiting him from. As he said, وَلَا يَصُدُّنَّكَ عَنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أُنْزِلَتْ إِلَيْكَ. Let them not deflect you or deviate you from the ayat of Allah, from the signs of Allah, after they have been revealed to you. And call to your Lord, and do not be among the mushrikeen. Do not be among the mushrikeen, the pagans. So it is clear that the Prophet ﷺ was not amongst the pagans. He did not commit any paganism, any shirk, and yet this ayah, the same people who understood that could say this in regard to this ayah. So this shows that these ayat could be understood to be confusing or conflicting in the minds of some people. This is why we say it, they are mutashabih. But for the people who have a firm foundation and knowledge, they are clear to them. There is no confusion, no contradiction. If there is any doubt, they immediately refer them to the clear-cut ayat, and that the vagueness in the Quran is of two types. The first type is real, and the other is relative. There is a real vagueness, and there is a relative vagueness. The real vagueness is that which is not possible for any human being to know, like the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because even though we know the meaning of these attributes, but we do not know it's their reality and how they are. We know that Allah istawa al-arsh, He rose above the throne, but how is that? We know that He has hands, how are they? We know many attributes of Allah, but how is that? We do not know. So to us, even to the most knowledgeable human beings, these are still mutashabih. They are not possible. It's not possible for them to know how they are, at least in this life. So they remain mutashabih. So they are truly mutashabih. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَا يَحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, and they cannot encompass Him with knowledge. And He is saying, وَلَا لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. The eyesight cannot reach Him, whereas He can encompass the eyesight, and He is the all-aware and subtle. So that is why when Imam Malik was questioned about the meaning of Ar-Rahman al-Arsh istawa, the compassionate has risen above the throne, how did he do that? He said, al-istiwa majhul, which means istiwa, rising above the throne, is unknown to us. Wal-kayfu, no, I don't think that's what it is. Al-istiwa'u ma'loom. They have a typo here too. I have a pen. I thought maybe there is a pencil. Al-istiwa'u ghayru majhool. Sorry. It's correct then. Al-istiwa'u ghayru majhool, which means istiwa' is not unknown or unintelligible, which means we know what the meaning of istiwa'. Wal-kayfu ghayru ma'qul. As for the kayf, how it happened, the modality of it, it is impossible for us to know. It is beyond our ability and conception. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَاجِبٌ, believing in it is a wajib, is an obligation. وَالسُؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَةٌ, and questioning this or asking how it happened is a bid'ah, is an innovation. So this type, which is the real mutashabih, one may not ask about it or try to inquire about it and dig into it, because it's not possible to reach an answer in its regard. The second type is the relative type of vagueness. And this is the type that would be vague to some people, but not to others. It will be known to the people who are firm in knowledge, but not to other people who are lesser than them. And this it is permissible to seek its meanings and its knowledge and explain it to others, because it is within the capacity or the ability of people. Because there is nothing in the Quran whose meaning is not possible to understand from some people. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, هَذَا بَيَانُ لِلنَّاسِ وَهَذَا وَيَنَطَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, this is a clarification for people, the Quran, and is a guidance and a recommendation for those who have taqwa. So if this is the case for the Quran, then it should be understood to some people at least. All of it should be known, its meanings, to some people. Otherwise, this would not be true. That it is a clarification for the people. And there are similar ayat, other ayat to the same effect, that the Quran is a clarification of everything to all of the people. So with that, we understand that All of the meanings of the Quran, except of course what we said, that some meanings we know what they mean, but not the modality of it. We know the apparent meaning of istiwa, of rising above the throne, of the hands and so on, but that's all what we know. We cannot get into how of it, how it is. But other than that, everything is known to some people at least. And the Quran as a whole, the meanings are known to the people of knowledge. And the ar-rasikhuna fil ilm. And there are many examples like this. For instance, the ayah, laysa kamithlihi shay, nothing is like him, was the people of ta'til, those who negate the qualities of Allah or the attributes of Allah, became confused about it. So they understood from this is that the qualities of Allah do not exist. He does not have qualities, he does not have attributes, because they say if we affirm the attributes, if we accept the attributes, that means that we are likening him to his creatures. Yeah, like Jahmiya, right? Mu'attila, like Jahmiya. So by that they turned away from many ayat that confirm the sifat, the attributes of Allah. And they forgot that if you affirm the meaning, the origin of the meaning, it does not mean that you are affirming the similarity between the two. Like you say, we have hearing, Allah has hearing. So we believe in both of these things. It doesn't mean that you are saying our hearing is like his hearing, or our hand is like his hand, or his hand is like our hand, or his sight is like ours, his eye is like our sight, or etc. You know, the rest of his attributes, whatever has been mentioned in the Quran or the authentic Sunnah. There are other examples that he brings here about ayat that were taken by the for example, Jabriya, to mean that, for instance, you know, the ayah which says, "Alam ta'lam anna Allaha ya'lamu as-samawati wal-ard," didn't you know that Allah knows what's in the heavens and on earth? Inna dhalika fi kitabin dhalika Allah yaseer, that all of that is in a book, that is recorded in a record, and that is easy for Allah. So Jabriya, those who believe that people are obliged to do everything, they have no choice, they, from this they understood that since Allah knows everything, therefore we are obliged to do everything according to his knowledge, and therefore we do not have the will or the ability to do what we really want, because we are forced to do what Allah has already known and is recorded. وَأَعْرَضُ عَنِ الْآيَاتِ الدَّلَّ عَلَى أَنَّ الْعَبْدِ إِرَادَةً وَقُدْرَةً. So they, by that, they turned away from the other ayat which affirm that each person has a will and an ability, and that the actions of the person are two types. One of them is ikhtiyari, which means he has choice in them, and the other is غير اختياري, he has no choice. Think that he has no choice means like if a disaster happens, if something, you know, happens to us, then it is beyond our ability and our selection. But for doing, acting upon the teachings of the deen, this is within our ability and within our choice. So the people who are firm in knowledge, they know, الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, they know how to understand these ayat, which may have a confusing or vague understanding in the minds of some people. They know how to apply, to understand them in a way that will agree with the rest of the Quran without leaving any confusion or any vagueness. What is the wisdom in having the Quran, part of it muhkam and part of it mutashabih? The answer is, had the Quran been all muhkam, clear cut in meaning, then the wisdom would have been lost, the wisdom would have been lost of testing people with it to see who would believe and act upon it because of the meaning being apparent to him, and without with the impossibility or leaving no possibility for changing the meaning, and also to see who will rely upon the vague meanings of the Quran, seeking by that al-fitna, seeking by that discord and confusion. As is mentioned in the ayah of Surah Al-Imran that we mentioned earlier, that those who have a problem in their heart, they always seek to misinterpret. So it becomes like a test for them, for the people, to see who is seeking discord and fitna and who is seeking the true knowledge and the true learning. If it were all mutashabih, vague, then it would not, there would not be a point in it being guidance for the people, and it would not be possible to act upon it and to have a clear belief out of it. Okay, but Allah Azza wa Jal, out of His, with His great wisdom, have made some ayat which are clear cut, and others which are not as clear, but that can be referred to the clear ones when there is any vagueness or misunderstanding. And that is to test the ibad, the servants, to see who is true in his belief and who has a confusion in his heart. And we believe, of course, that the Quran is all from Allah, and therefore it is all true and truth, and there is no chance that there would be any part of it that is invalid or confusing, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, لا يأتيه الباطل بعين يديه ولا من خلفه. No باطل, which means invalidity or wrong, can come to it from in front of it or from behind it. That is the Quran. And he's saying the ayah that we say it now again for the third time, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُ فِي اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Had it been from other than Allah, they would have found in it a great amount of contradiction. And you find those who have problems, diseases in their heart, they always rely on or go to the ayat which are not clear to them, and to some people, to the common people, and they try to misinterpret them in a way that will support some of the deviant meanings that they are trying to deduce from it. So this is the end of the discussion of Al-Muhkam and Mutashabih. There is something that is a little bit related to it, which is that sometimes there are some ayat in the Quran which may seem to be contradicting each other. So how to deal with these? Before we get into it, did you have a question about Muhkam and Mutashabih?
Are you to understand that there are some ayat
in the Quran? I do not understand. Yeah. Yeah, we believe that, actually. That in the sense that we mentioned, that there is about the kayfiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, for example, we believe, as he says, there's without exception, he says, وَلَا يَحِيطُونَ بِهِ عَلْمًا, which means they can't encompass him with their knowledge. That applies to all of the human beings, and there's nothing to exclude Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from that. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, he will have much more knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jal, but still we cannot say that he can encompass Allah with his knowledge. And as we know, that he did not even see Allah Azza wa Jal in this life, because as Aisha radiallahu anha said, whoever tells you that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his Lord, he is a liar. And as he said, نُورٌ أَنَّا أَرَاهُ, all I saw was light, so how could I see him? حِجَابُهُ النُّورُ, also he said another hadith, there's a veil of light that prevents people from seeing him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he cannot see him, that means that he has no ability in this life to encompass him with knowledge. And this is one example of things that even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not, you know, have the full knowledge of.
About
Probably he knows about the meanings of these letters. But as we see from the discussion of the scholars, that you can say that this is of the mutashabih in the minds of many, even though some of them, you know, they have different interpretations of them. We can probably come to this in some, or probably you have in some discussion of tafsir. Did you cover this about these letters, what they mean? Because various scholars have various opinions about them, and maybe some of them are more correct than others. Some of them say that they have they have meanings. Others say no, they do not have meaning, but they are meant to give us example of what is in the Quran, that it is made up of these individual letters. So why there were these letters in the beginning of this surah and other letters in the beginning of another surah, and another different other surah do not have any such letters in the beginning? Allahu alam. But you probably can see that this is of the mutashabih for most people. For most people.
Well, what about Prophet?
Allahu alam. I would say that he knew about this, but we do not have. It seems that there are no records of him explaining that to the people. Otherwise, you know, that would have resolved the difference among the scholars in their regard.
The Quran, Allah
says
in the Quran
that he doesn't recall the knowledge. Right. Yeah. Maybe, Allahu alam. Unless, you know, it is something that he found that it is not some of the knowledge that people need. Because not everything that he knew, he told us. Not everything. I mean, he did not give us the details of things that he saw. He told us in general about what he saw, in general how it is like, how is the angels look like, etc. But we did not get all the full detail of any of that. So he did not. And as Aisha radiallahu anha said, when he told her, here is Jibreel. Jibreel came to him with the revelation, and he said, this is Jibreel giving you salam. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, wa alayka salam ya Rasulullah, and on you be salam, O Allah's messenger. Tara ma la nara, you see things that we cannot see. So he was able to see Jibreel, she could not see him, and they were all sitting together. So if he can see things we cannot see, then definitely he knows more detail about things that he can express by words. So I don't believe that he told us everything that he knew about the ghaib, which is beyond our abilities, about the angels, about what he saw in Jannah, whether in dreams, in true dreams, or whether in reality when he went to the heavens in the Ma'araj and so on. We did not get all the details, but that doesn't mean that he hid some truth from us. He told us, he conveyed to us everything that is part of the message that he was commanded to convey to us, and that is needed for us to perform and abide by the deen as Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded him to deliver to us.
Yeah,
exactly. That he told us everything that would make us stay away from the hellfire and come closer to the Jannah. But it doesn't mean he told us everything that he knew about this.
What about the ayah in the Quran where Allah says that his example is like
an Asr al-Nuri, his example of the light of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Is the first person understood the whole meaning of that ayah?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much he understood. But what matters is that what the scholars afterwards understood, and what has been reported in the Sunnah, and then what the scholars understood in of what has practical benefit and knowledge of practical implications for us. So we can't go to every ayah and say what did the Prophet ﷺ understand from it and what the scholars understood. There's no such knowledge possible even for one single ayah. Sometimes he tells us some of the meanings of an ayah, but many times the meaning is still mostly a ghaibi meaning, which means it has to do with matters of life, like what he said about the Jannah, that In it there is that which no eye has seen and no ear has heard and did not occur to the heart of any human being. And as Ibn Abbas, I believe, said that there is nothing in Jannah from what is in this life but the names, which means everything is different. And this is something, I believe it's authentic from Ibn Abbas, that means that he heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it has also a meaning like that in the Quran. So it means that, you know, many things that we read, they are not in their exact meaning as our experience is in this life. So definitely Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his exposure to the ghaib more than any other human being, he has understood much more about all of these things than anyone else. But it doesn't mean that he was able or required to convey all what he knew to the people.
Can this be an example, like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed entered into the bird itself, meaning that he might have a better understanding of that, and we will be know about that?
This shows that Allah would give some additional knowledge to the prophets that not necessarily would be needed for the people to understand their messages better, but for them to be firmer in understanding and knowledge, and stronger in carrying the message and having stronger belief. Yeah, this could be taken as an example. Yeah. And when he said, Musa asked him to look at him, he said, you will not be able to see me, but look at the mountain. If it stays in its place, then you will see me. So when Allah revealed himself to the mountain, whatever that means, we don't know what it means, the mountain was, it exploded, it disappeared. جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا, and Musa fell unconscious. So this shows that even Musa alayhi salam was not able to see and understand certain things that about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, let's see if we can finish this section inshallah in the remaining 5 or 7 minutes. This is in regard, as I said, to the ayat which may apparently be contradictory in the Quran, and like one of them would appear to be affirming and the other would be negating about a thing. He says here, it is not possible that the contradiction or the apparent contradiction would be in regard to two ayat that are giving information about something, because then one of them will be a lie or a mistake. And this is not possible for the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, who says about himself, فَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا, who is more truthful than Allah in speech. And he says, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, who is more truthful than Allah in words. And neither can two ayat be contradictory if they are giving a hukum, a ruling about something. Unless we say or we know that one of them, the later of the two, would be abrogating the earlier of the two. Okay, like the hukum has been changed. Allah Azza wa Jal changed the hukum, the ruling, from one time to the other, abrogating the previous one. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَنَا سَخْمِ أَيْنَا أُنُسِيَ لَأْتِ بِخَيْرِ مِنَا أُمِثْلِهَا, we would not abrogate an ayah or make people forget it, but would bring that which is better than it or which is like it. And if nasakh, if abrogation is proven or is confirmed, then we say that the hukum, the ruling of the previous, the earlier of the two ayat, is abrogated, and therefore we do not say that in that case there is contradiction between that and the second ayah. We say the first was abrogated. Other than this, if you see something that may appear to be contradiction, then you should try to make a reconciliation between the two, to understand the two without saying that there is contradiction. If you cannot, then you have to stop there and refer the knowledge to those who have the ability in regard to these ayat. The scholars have given examples, many examples of that which may appear to be contradictory, and have explained how you can reconcile between it. And in this, the best, he says, the author here, he says, the best of what I've seen in that regard is the book دفع إهام للترابع عن أي الكتاب, which means refuting the imagination or the thoughts that there is confusion or contradiction in regard to the ayat of the kitab, of the book, by Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti rahimahullah. Among the examples, Allah is saying هدى للمتقين in regard to the Quran. He said هدى للمتقين in the beginning, like of Surah Al-Baqarah. He said اكتب ورد في هدى للمتقين, it is a guidance for those who have taqwa. And he says in regard to شهر رمضان, شهر رمضان الذي أزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس, the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed as guidance for the people. So this says Quran is guidance for the people, the other says guidance for those who have taqwa. So in the first ayah it says that the Quran, the guidance in the Quran is specific to those who have taqwa. In the second one it makes it general to all of the people, and to make reconciling between the two ayat, we say that the guidance in the first ayah is the guidance of tawfiq and intifa, which means the guidance that means that Allah facilitates to the people who have taqwa to benefit from the Quran. Okay, so to be guided by it and to benefit from it. And the other ayah means it is hudan linnas, which means it's a guidance for people, means it tells them what is right from what is wrong. So it is hidayat al-tabyin wal-irshad, it clarifies and points out to them what is good for them. Because, you know, this is mentioned in the Quran several places where the word guide in some places of the Quran comes to mean like, you know, I guided somebody, means I told him, for example, look, don't go to that place because it is dangerous, go to this place, it is good, it's safe, this road is safe for you. So I guided him to where he should go. The other possible guidance is that I go with the person, I take his hand and I show him where to go, and I make sure that he is safe and he does not get into any danger. So that is more than the mere pointing of where to go. So that's the difference between the two. One of them is guidance of facilitation and tawfiq, we say, and the other is guidance of irshad, which means we just tell them and point out to them what is right and what's wrong. No, there's no obligation here. We are saying, we talked about the obligation, this is third type. We said that the one type is information, like you say that, for example, you know, the people of for example Fir'aun was drowned, and another ayat says Fir'aun was burnt in the fire. So you cannot find something like this. This is ikhbar, which means mere information. There cannot be confusion or contradiction, because that means that there is a lie or mistake in the Quran, and this is not possible. So in ikhbar, in matters of pure information, this cannot happen. The other is in matters of ruling, of hukum, haram, halal, do this, do not do this, etc. This, if it changes from one place to the other, like in one place Allah says stay, it says khamr and maisir, khamr is and maisir, there is benefits in them and there is harm, and their harm is more than their benefit, somewhere else he says stay away from it. So in that case there is a difference in the ruling. So what to say? We say that the second one abrogated the first one. The third type, he's saying everything else, if there appears to be a confusion or a contradiction, then that is an apparent thing that you need to understand by referring to the people of knowledge to explain to you what is the meaning and how to reconcile between the meanings, as in this example. Okay? So Allah Azza wa Jal says about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You cannot guide whomever you will, but Allah guides whom He wills. You cannot guide whomever you love, but Allah guides whomever He wills. And another ayah, it says, you indeed guide to a straight path. So in the first ayah, it's talking about the guidance that comes from Allah, the facilitation, the true final guidance, you know, to the good. And the other, that you point to people the straight path, and so on. So, and there are other examples about this. So, so inshallah, since we ran out of time, we'll stop here, and that hopefully makes it clear that there are these